Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
Hi, family. How are you? I think I have my phone turned off. Nobody ever calls me anyway, but it never fails when I'm in church. I forget to turn it off, and then somebody calls me. Then I'm trying to figure out how to turn the stupid thing off, and I'm all embarrassed. My name's Debbie Cobray, and Jim and I founded this church, 31 years ago almost. And so it's always a joy, and it's always a pleasure to be with my family, because you're my family. And this is who I do life with, and this is who I do God with, is you. And so it's always an honor to be here. And you're a good-looking bunch of kids, let me tell you. You're beautiful. But tonight I want to share with you, and I've taught this message here. I taught this message all over the world, but I've taught this message here many times. But when Dan's doing the miracle birthday offering, I said, Dan, I haven't done this in probably about 5 years, at least that's what I can tell on my notes. Would you let me teach this? Because it was such revelation to me. When the Holy Spirit gave this word to me, I was in a place where I was struggling and believing God to build this house with Jim. We needed an extra, we needed so much money. I can't even begin to tell you where we were at. We could believe God for the Kmart building over in Colton, and that was $5 million. And we didn't have two nickels to rub together. And our church was exploding. We were over there in Loma Linda, and we knew we had to do something. We had four services, and we were just exhausted. We had Friday night, we had Saturday morning, we had three on Sunday morning, one on Sunday night, Wednesday night. We were just growing, and people were getting saved, and God was moving. But we had never built a building, and we did not understand and know how to believe God when he said, I want you to build, and stop renting. We've been renting for 17 years. And so because of that huge responsibility and where I was in my faith, God gave this to me and showed me that God desires and that he wanted me to believe him, and that be it unto you according to your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nothing that you will ever do in this life in the kingdom of God, nothing will be done without faith. It takes faith to get saved. You hear the word, you hear the invitation, you hear that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and it goes into your heart. Something happens on the inside, the heart and the seed, the word of God, and you begin to believe. And before you know it, you're saying yes, and God's in you, and your whole life is changed. But it's faith. You get saved by faith, and you will walk the walk of God on the earth until you close your eyes and I close my eyes and go and be with his majesty. Until that time, we're going to need faith. And so because of that, and because I needed an extra oomph and revelation, God gave me Genesis chapter 26, and it was the story of Isaac. And so that's where I want to go tonight. And many of you have heard this, but it's good for me to speak it, and it's good for you to hear it, and it's revelation because it changed my perspective. And when you change your thinking, everything else changes. Even though nothing changes in the natural, it's changing you on the inside, and then it begins to reverberate from inside of you out the faith, and it begins to manifest what God has for you. God is a God that works in systems. He is not arbitrarily just deciding on a whim what to do. He's very, very authentic, and he's very focused. He has a long-range plan, a long-term vision, and we are a part of that. And when you and I begin to understand government and God's government and systems, then it's easy for me, it was easy for me anyway when I began to understand it like this, to begin to understand the kingdom and to begin to walk in faith like I had never walked in it before. Because to do what you've got to do and to go where you need to go, to marry who you mean to marry, to raise the kids you need to raise, to have the jobs you need to have, to invent the things you need to invent, to be the people you need to be at every season of life, you and I are going to have to do this by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things we don't see. So when you believe God and when you have faith, you are believing God and you are actually beginning to live your life out on a truth that you don't see. in the natural. And that you begin then to use the force of faith, and it begins to take that which belongs in the invisible realm, and it begins to bring it into the corporeal realm where you and I are residing right now, earth side. Are you with me? So, we needed millions of dollars. We could believe God for $5 million. This building ended up, we had to find $18 million. And God just kept stretching us and stretching us and stretching us and stretching us. And he did it through the word. And he did it by teaching us. And so these saints of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, they are very, very deliberately there for you and I. Their lives were lived out as men and women, just like our lives are. They were no different than you and I. Their seasons and their times were different. Their worlds and their cultures were different, but the things that they faced and the way that they had to learn to do life is absolutely no different than you and I in the 21st century. So if I can look at a portion of someone's life who overcame and actually got the blessing of God, then I can do those same things in the 21st century in my own life, and I can see God's blessing and see God's miraculous provision begin to manifest where it was not possible before. And I don't know about you, but I need God's impossible. God doesn't need me to do what I already can do without him. That's the world. God needs a people that will believe him and press in and begin to seek God and begin to get a different perspective so that God's works and God's plans and God's provision, his supernatural provision, can come into the earth realm. How do you know that God doesn't want you to marry somebody and you're going to have kids and those kids are going to shake the world? How do you know that God isn't going to give you one idea, one good idea, and all of a sudden this opens and that opens and that opens, and all of a sudden there's a business. What you never dreamed could be, now you are actually overseeing and running and bringing funds into the kingdom of God. How do you know what your life is going to be in faith? God has a bigger plan and a bigger message for us than what we believe in the natural. And he chose San Bernardino, and he brought two very screwed up people, Jim and Debbie Cobray, here many years ago, decades ago, messed up and had nothing and not two nickels to rub together and brokenhearted. And he raised up a work and he raised up a people to believe him. And now it's in the next generation. And this next generation has a call of God on their lives to go and do what's never been done. So having said that, I want to go to Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to look at God's economic recovery time. His recovery in hard times. God wants to bless us. We can say amen to that, but do we really believe it? I didn't. I knew God wanted me in heaven. I knew that my eternity was absolutely set. But to actually prosper me on the earth, to actually begin to use me, little nobody me, to go to these places and do these things, why would God even think that? And you see, if you were honest with yourselves, pretty much most of us are there. We look in the mirror, we look at our lives, and we look at the smallness of who we are. And God is trying to get us to switch. Because if we can get our eyes off of what's wrong with us and get our eyes on what's right with him, and get our eyes on it's not what we do, it's what he's done, and what we now can do through his plans, then everything changes. And Isaac is a perfect example of this. Isaac was the promised child of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac did nothing for the favor of God. He was born to the oldest parents on the planet. Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. He was the miracle baby. He was the baby that couldn't be born until he couldn't be born. Because God was showing that it's not going to be by flesh or the will of man that his promise and his plan is coming to pass. It's going to be by people believing him and his power coursing through faith through his people that will change and bring in his destiny on this planet to restore mankind and to reconcile mankind back to him and to bring us back rulership on the earth because we'd lost it at the fall. God's a God of restoration. He's putting everything back. We got to do it his way. It's not going to be done our way. It's going to be done his way because he's God. And I love this scripture in Malachi. If you could just throw it up. I just asked the team if they could just throw it up at the end. I love this. Dan was preaching on tithing. Wasn't that a great word? And I was reading it in the Message Bible, and this is what God said. I am God. Yes, I am. I haven't changed. And because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. That's a good thing. You have a long history of ignoring my commands. Now, does this sound like a father to you? You have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. I love that. Return to me so I can return to you, says God of the angel armies. And then he goes on and he talks about the tithe. Dan was there. But I love that. I'm God. It's who I am. Let God be God, my husband used to say all the time. You're not going to change him. He's God. He's made it all. He's created us. He's got the plan. We have to come under his plan. He doesn't come under ours. And he has a plan for finances. He has a plan for prosperity. And he has a plan for success in your life and my life. He doesn't want you broke. He doesn't want you so poor that you can't even put food on the table, buy cars, have a home, put shoes on your kids' feet. He doesn't want you so absolutely tired and exhausted that you're working multiple jobs and you can't even get to church. You see, that's what the enemy wants. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come to give you life. The Zoe life of God, the God kind of life. I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Ephesians says he's the God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we could hope or ask or even think. You can't even wrap your mind around what God wants to do for us. He wants to bless us. The definition of blessing is the power to succeed. That's what it means to be blessed. He empowers you to be successful. He didn't create children so they would flunk and they would die and they would be destroyed and they would kill themselves and kill each other. He made this planet and he made us in his image so we could bring the kingdom of God into the earth realm. Nothing's changed. So here comes Isaac, the son of promise. Isaac didn't do one thing for the blessing. He was born into it. He didn't ask for it. He didn't work for it. He didn't go to school for it. He didn't strive for it. He was born into it. That's what you call an heir. That's what an heir is. An heir is a person that is born into wealth and success and rulership. The heir of my wealth is my children. They're born into it. They didn't do what Jim and I did. They're in the will. They're in the trust. But they were born into it. How much more when God says you're an heir of Christ Jesus, the God of gods, the King of all the universe, majesty himself has taken you and I and made us heirs of Christ Jesus. Okay, so we all say glory, great. God, what does that mean? What does that translate into my everyday life? Well, I think Isaac really lives this out for us. And I think we can just look at this one chapter, and I'm not going to be able to cover it all, so go home and read it. I'm just going to give you five things that happened that if we applied in our lives, we're going to watch the blessing of God begin to manifest in our lives. But there were five things that he did. So in chapter 26 of Genesis, if you've got your Bibles, go there with me. Isaac is a grown man. He's had Esau and Jacob. And there's a famine in the land. And this is an agrarian country. This is an agrarian culture. They're farmers. If there's no rain, there's no food. If there's no food, people die. animals die. Famines are extremely serious. So Isaac is thinking about going to Egypt because his father, 90 years before, had done exactly the same thing. There was a famine in Abraham and Sarah. It was actually Abram and Sarai, before their names were changed, went to Egypt. And God steps in, and this is what he says in Genesis chapter 26. It says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. We're talking about 90 years ago. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Why? Because his dad had gone down to Egypt and he was going to do what his dad did. Because don't we do what our parents do? As much as we don't want to, don't we become our parents? You know we do. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt, but dwell in the land in which I will tell you. Dwell in this land, verse 3, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. So God shows up in Isaac's life, and Isaac changes directions. Instead of going to Egypt because there's no water, there's no food, he's not going to stay in a country that's dying, God says, stay here, I'm going to bless you here. So he stays in Gerar, and this is what happens. He lives in Gerar, and then as we go on and read down the chapter, we find that he gets himself caught up in a falsehood. And then from that falsehood, other things happen. Now remember, we're going to look at Isaac's life and God wanting to bless us because we're heirs like Isaac is. And we're going to look at what he did. So Isaac has heard from God. God said, I'm going to bless you. Stay here. Every promise I gave to your father, I'm going to fulfill. I'm going to use you and I'm going to bless you. Now, this is important because in Galatians chapter 3, if I can have that scripture up, 26 through 29, we are like Isaac. And the first thing that Isaac had to do to get blessed and to succeed in a time of harshness, in a time of economic downfall. Now, you might think the economics are great right now, or maybe you're not. I don't know. San Bernardino's never had great economics. God sent us to a really poor city to show what he can do in a poor city with people that will believe him. Because God's called the poor of this world to be rich in faith. If you got faith, you got everything you're going to need. So this is what it says. God says, I'm going to bless you. So the first thing Isaac had to do is he had to understand that he's blessed. He's an heir, and he's blessed not because he's done anything, but just because of who he is. So if you and I are going to believe God for things, you and I are going to have to believe that we're heirs and we're blessed. And blessed means the power to succeed, that God's called you to succeed. He hasn't called you to fail. He's called you to succeed. And it just bugs me. It really bugs me when people get all religious on me. I mean, I'm a woman in ministry, and now I'm old, so that there's three strikes against me right there. Most people think women shouldn't even be allowed to speak in the church. We wrote a book about that. You can get that later. But it really bugs me when people come up and say, well, you just want to blab it and grab it, to name it and claim it. You are just prosperity people, and you just want to rob from God's people. And that's such a bunch of bull. That is exactly what the devil wants you to think. You want to stay broke? It's not hard to do that. You want to do something for God and be blessed? You're going to have to do these five things. And that's not easy because it's going to take faith. The first thing you're going to have to do, and what I had to do, is realize I'm an heir of Jesus Christ. That means every promise that God has given Jesus, he's given me. Not because I've earned it, not because I deserve it, not because I've gone to school and college and I have degrees and I've done all of these things in the natural world, but simply because I was born again into the position of Debbie Cobray, daughter of the Most High God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His blood washes me. His blood's made me righteous before him. He has justified me. He has set me apart and sanctified me. And every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ Jesus, because his blood has purchased it for me. But if I don't believe it, it's as if it didn't exist for me, because nothing is accessed without faith. Without faith, it's impossible. impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. That's the system of God's kingdom, his economic system. What moves the invisible into the visible world? What changes what is in the natural? What comes and absolutely causes the impossible to happen? It's not human effort. It is sons and daughters of God that believe the promises of God and begin to work and do what God's told them to do. Period. So number one, Isaac had to believe. He had to realize, hey, I'm just not anybody. I'm Isaac, son of the promise. The entire plan of God is resting through my loins. I am the son that God is going to bring everything through. And you see, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that God wants to use you and you're something in him, then you've already been defeated. And you might as well stay in bed, or you can rip those covers off and say, hell no. You are not going to lie to me any longer. Devil, you're not going to deceive me anymore. I'm going to begin to look at what God says, and I'm going to begin to ask him how to believe, and I'm going to begin to let the Holy Spirit open my spirit up to him. I'm going to begin to read, and I'm going to begin to do, and I'm going to begin to take steps. They may be baby steps. Maybe I can only believe for 5 million, and I don't know. I got to have 18, but God's going to show me how to get the 18 million. Number one, you got to believe you're an heir. And that is why it says in Galatians 3:26-29, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put him on. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. In other words, there is no color. There is no gender. There is no race. There's no social economic system. There's no educational system that will divide you. You are one. You all have the same heir ability and the same privilege in the kingdom of God as anyone else. You see, he levels the playing field. The natural doesn't, but the kingdom does. That's why he chooses the weak and the foolish of this world to confound the wise, because he doesn't need our glory and our brightness of flesh. He needs men and women that will humble themselves and seek him and bow under the king's authority and believe his word. So Isaac, before anything could happen in his life, the first thing God did is tell him who he was and the blessing that was on his life. Isaac had to believe it. At first he didn't, because as we go on through the chapter, it says that Isaac then dwelt in Gerar. He lived there. Genesis 26. Let me get my Bible, because I don't think I have it up. So in verse 6 it says, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she's my sister. For he was afraid to say, she's my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she's beautiful. He was afraid. He had a beautiful wife. He's alone, just his little tribe, just him and Rebekah and the boys and his servants, and they are living in a culture that is dangerous and hostile. Pirates and bandits, there's no law. A man can kill you for your wife, and who's going to believe who? You're nobody. He was afraid. Was he rightfully afraid? Would you say? I would say yes. Listen, life's hard. Life's tough. When Adam failed and ate from that tree, the first thing he did is hide. When God said, where are you? He said, I hid myself because I was afraid. That's the first time you're going to see that. Fear came in to man. And the system that man now operated in, the demonic system, was fear. And we've operated in it ever since. We make decisions because we're afraid. Worry is like hope. Worry is to fear what hope is to faith. It paints a picture of bad things that are going to happen. That's why Jesus said, don't worry. Why? Because it's the wrong system. It is the wrong kingdom system. It's the kingdom of darkness. And God's getting us into the new system. He's teaching us how to operate in the kingdom principles. So Isaac is afraid. And so he lied about Rebekah, and he said, she's my sister. And then one day, they're out sporting and playing and rollicking and frolicking. And the king looks out his window and sees Isaac and Rebekah doing some intimate things. And he says, well, obviously, she's not your sister. She's your wife. And Isaac began to explain to him, and he says to him in Genesis 26, in verse 9, and Abimelech called Isaac, and he said, quite obviously, she's your wife. So how would you say she's my sister? And Isaac said, because lest I die on account of her, I was afraid. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you have brought guilt on us. So Abimelech charged all of his people not to touch Isaac or Rebekah on pain of death. Well, let's look at this point. First one was, you got to believe you're an heir. Second one is, you got to live by faith and not fear. Because Isaac was living by fear. And when you live by fear, you live in deception. And when you live in deception, you don't know you're deceived. And the lies of darkness and the lies of the enemy become your reality and not the word of God and the truth of God. Are you with me? I am talking about two separate kingdoms. We're born into the kingdom of darkness and sin. God comes, redeems us, reconciles us, and restores us back to him. And now the kingdom of God is ours and we're heirs. But what do we know about the kingdom? How do we know how to operate in it? And because we don't know or understand, we stay over here in the kingdom of darkness as Christians, but never accomplish anything. God is saying, I need you to understand where you're going. I don't need you to operate in the old system of fear. I need you to begin to understand. You've got to believe me. And that means you cannot be afraid. You're going to have to take courage because I'm with you. Did God not tell Isaac, I am with you? Stay in this land. Here I will bless you. Here I will multiply your descendants. Did he not come and speak to Isaac and tell him that? So Isaac had heard the word of God. But Isaac had allowed the circumstances and the culture and the pressure to cause him to live a lie and in fear, and nothing happened. Nothing changes in Isaac's life. So if I'm going to see God restore me and bless me and prosper me, then I'm going to have to, number one, realize I'm an heir. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I'm born into it. It's called born again. The promises of God are yes and amen in him. Number two, I'm going to have to determine in my life, in my decisions, in my everydays, what I watch on TV, where I take my children, where I go, what I see, what I put before my eyes. I'm going to have to determine that I'm going to either live by fear in the old system and the flesh, or I'm going to live by faith and come under the authority of God's word. He is either God or he isn't. He's either majesty on high, maker of heaven and earth, creator of all things, my Father, who says to me, I'm God, I don't change. But you sons of Jacob, you've ignored my commands for millennia. Are we just like that? You see, until you and I step back and dial this thing back, say, how am I living? Am I living in fear? Am I worried all the time? How am I going to pay my bills? What's going to happen to my marriage? Are my kids going to make it? Am I going to have a job? Are we going to ever be able to buy a house? All the things that you desire and that are normal things to desire. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus very clearly said, seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added to you. Why? Because we're in a different system. We are not in the old system of the world and the darkness of the kingdom of darkness. We are in the kingdom of God. And all things will be added, but they're added by God's procedures, not by mine. And it's going to be faith. And that means that I'm going to have to decide not to be afraid. What are you afraid of? Why don't you ask yourself, and don't you know Satan will come and whisper in your ears all kinds of things. When I was pastoring here with Jim, the first thing he told us was empty seats. Nobody's going to come. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Then we'd have the nightmare that you're standing in front of people and you have to preach and you haven't anything to say. I mean, he has the same threats. And if you talk to 10 other pastors, if there were 10 pastors in this room, they've had the same exact images. Because Satan's not original. He'll just hit you and 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 hit you. Your mind is a landing field for thoughts and ideas. Don't think they're all yours, because they're not. They're not. But what are you going to take hold of? You see, Isaac heard God, but he didn't take hold of the word. And he took hold of the culture and the circumstances. And because he took hold, that had greater pressure on him than God's word having faith on him. He got caught up in a lie and nothing happened in his life. And he's sneaking around trying to caress his wife instead of living openly as husband and wife. Nothing's happening yet. So, number one, I'm going to have to be an heir and realize it. Number two, I'm going to have to live by faith and not by fear. Because fear will produce a cowardly lifestyle of deceit, not living up to who you are and what you are. Hear what it says. Fear, the system, the pattern, the economic system of darkness, fear will produce a cowardly lifestyle of deceit, not living up to who you are and what you can be. Isaac couldn't do anything until he got out of fear. Fear cannot function in an atmosphere of faith. Faith cannot function in an atmosphere of fear, doubt, and unbelief. It can't. It won't function. It will be diluted. God personally spoke to Isaac. The word comes. Faith comes. Isaac was not operating in faith. Can you see clearly he was operating in what? He was afraid. He was afraid there he was going to get killed because he had a beautiful wife and he was alone. Was he? Was Isaac alone? Was God watching out for him? Had God himself spoken to him? So was Isaac's fear based on a falsehood? It was, because that's what fear is. It's an acronym, false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R, fear, false evidence appearing real. It hasn't happened. It's in your mind. It's not in your world. It's in your mind. It's in the realm of the imagination. And that is why faith has to be accompanied by something called hope. Fear is accompanied by something called worry. Are you with me? It paints pictures. Hope paints the pictures of God's promises and what God can do. Worry paints a picture of fear and what Satan's kingdom and what can happen in your life. Bad things. God isn't going to come through. They're going to kill you because Rebecca's beautiful. You're all alone. You see, that's exactly what will cause faith to stop. So he gets caught in the lie because God's not going to let him stay there. And he's not going to let us stay there either if we're in a rut and we're in deception and fear. God's going to shake our world. So get ready, because he hasn't called you to live by fear. He's called you to live by faith. He wants to bless you and prosper you. This is about finances. This is about life. God's blessings are real, but they don't just fall down like rain from heaven. You have to believe and do what God says to do. So you got to believe you're an heir. You got to get out of fear and walk by faith. Number three, you got to do something. Faith without works is dead. Yeah, and you can't just sit there, well, God's going to bless me. God's going to bless me. Because the next verse after that in chapter 26, it's fascinating to me. Maybe it's not to you, and maybe I'm boring you, but this changed my life, and we went from 5 million to 18 million. Verse 12, after Abimelech charges the people, don't touch him. You're going to die if you touch him. He and his wife. Now they're safe. And verse 12, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. For the man began to prosper. 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 and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. He had to begin, continue, and then he became. It was sustainable. Did any of that happen while he was in that lie? No, he was in fear. Until he got out of fear and back into faith. And he had to do something, because faith without works is dead. Then Isaac sowed in the land. Now, this was a drought going on, wasn't it? So Isaac had to sow on some dry fields with no rain. Think about it. He had to plow those fields, dry clods of dirt, and he had to take seed, precious seed, and he put it in the ground without any rain. And God blessed him, and God caused 100-fold return in the same year. You see, with God, 2 and 2 doesn't make 4. And that's the thing, that's the secret. Is if you try to budget and figure it all out, how are we going to get 18 million? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do, and then we had to get another million after that. How are we going to do, how are we going to buy seats? How are we going to put car? How are we going to finish this building? We don't have it. But God, you said, but God, you spoke to us. But God, you said, plant something in this city that's never been built. Build a mission. Build something for the generations. Build something that will outlive you and outlive the generations before you, because I want it to remain, and I want it to be a statement in San Bernardino that there's a God in heaven that loves his people and loves this city. How is it going to happen? 2 and 2 doesn't make 4. You have 1,000 ways to figure things out. I love what Barron, my friend, says, but God's got 1,001. You think you got it all worked out. Well, God could do this, and he could do this, and he could do this. And then he comes up with 1,001, because he's got a plan you didn't even know about. He's got people you didn't even think about. He's got connections you don't know exist. He's got ideas he hasn't yet dropped in your soul or downloaded into your spirit yet. You see, he's God. He just needs you and I to believe. He just needs me not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. He needs me to do something. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do something. All that's in front of me to do is I've got a dry field, but I need to have food. So God, if you're going to bless me, then I'm going to plant in a dry field. I may feel like a fool. People may laugh at me, but God, I am doing this by faith, and I'm believing that you're going to prosper and bless it. Faith without works is dead. Number 3, you got to do something. You can't just sit there and wait for rain to come. Isaac sowed. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. George Mueller wrote that, who fed 2,000 orphans every day by faith in England. Let me read it again. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible and done by humans. Faith begins where the man's power ends. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we've believed. Faith is to see. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. You see, you can't say, when I see it, I'll believe it. Faith says, I don't see it, but I believe it. And then you'll see it. That's what faith is. God doesn't need our humanness. He needs us to operate as saints in the kingdom of God, heirs of salvation, empowered by God himself. Noah built an ark when there wasn't any rain. Elisha had to go to Zarephath to a widow who was dying. And that's where Jezebel's father was the king over that area. So God sent Elijah into the land of the enemy from a widow that was about to die to get provision. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't make me very comfortable. You see, faith is not always convenient. It's not always going to look right. You look like you can fall on your face. Every time I've gotten in a pulpit, wherever I've been in the world, I have gone trembling and in much fear, knowing that if God doesn't show up on the inside of me and out of me, I'm going to fall on my face because I'm just a little woman that's not even supposed to be up here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I preach by faith. I live by faith. This church was built in faith. This church will continue and grow by faith. Every seat will be filled. They will be standing in line. There will be a revival. There will be a move of God because God will do what he's never done. He's not just going to do it again, children. He's going to do a new thing, something that hasn't been done, something that hasn't been thought of, something that you are being set up for, but you're going to have to walk by faith. Going to have to do something. Do something. William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army, I love this illustration. Faith and works travel side by side. Faith and works travel side by side. Step by step, answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith and then works, then faith again and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which one is which. It's like the legs of your walking. Faith and works, faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. Faith and works. Faith, do something. Faith, you're doing something. Faith, you're walking it out. Faith, you're fleshing it out. Faith, you're believing God. Faith, you're walking. Faith, you're continuing. Remember, he began, he continued, and he became so successful that now they kick him out of the land because he's too rich. Are you okay with me? Can I give you two more things and we'll finish this up? So you got to believe you're an heir. You're born into it, kids. You were born again into the kingdom of God. You are joint heir with Jesus Christ. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I just received it and believed it. And now, like Isaac, I'm a daughter, a princess. I am royalty in the house of God, and I belong to the kingdom, and I belong exclusively to the king. That's my family. You got to get out of fear and walk by faith. What are you afraid of? You're going to have to kick it out of your lives. Bring in the word. God's given you a promise for what you're afraid of. Exchange the fear for the promise. Exchange the worry for the hope. And you will begin to walk. And then you're going to have to do something about it. That means you're going to have to flesh it out, walk it out. Number four. So Isaac gets so rich that Abimelech comes to him and says, you're out of here. You're too big. We have to kick you out. Go. It kicked him out. So he takes his herds, he takes his flocks, he takes his people, and he goes and he redigs the wells of his father Abraham because they have filled them all up. And so in Genesis chapter 26, Isaac is now kicked out of Gerar, and now he's got to go out on his own, and he's got to find water because there's what? A famine, and without water, nothing lives. It's all the same topic, okay? So Isaac has to dig wells. So he goes, and he digs these wells, and he gets nothing but hell back. Now remember, he began to prosper. He continued to prosper, and he became prosperous. Now he's got flocks and herds. He's got to water and feed. Are you with me? You see, it's easy sometimes to believe God when you don't have anything. When you start getting stuff and responsibility, now you got to sustain it in faith. And it can be such a trap. So God says, I'm just going to route you right out of that trap. You're a little too comfortable here. You're out. And God will shake your life, and he will make you move, whether you want to or not, because change is coming whether you want it or not. And it's not going back to the way it was, because it's an onward road, and it's an upward road to the kingdom. So Isaac's men, they begin to dig these wells, and they dig these wells, and the first well they dig is Isaac. He calls it Isaac because the men of Gerar come, and they say, you can't have that water. That's our water. And so they quarrel. Isaac means to quarrel. Contention, strife. So he lets it go, and he goes and he digs another well, and the same men come and say, you can't have that water, that's our water. They're fighting over water. Does that sound familiar? See, nothing changes. Centuries change, millenniums change, but we're still human. We're still fighting over the same stuff. So they fight and they say, that's not your well, you've dug it, but it's our well. And so he calls the well Sitna, which means contention and strife. Then he leaves and he goes again and he digs another well and they hit water. And this time nobody comes after him and he calls it Rehoboth, which means spaciousness. And he says, God has made a big place for me to live. And the point is number four. First one is believe you're an heir. You didn't deserve it. You just born into it, kids. Get out of fear and get into faith, because you're not going to get anything any other way. You got to do something. Number three, faith without works is dead. Do something. Number four, you got to do the right thing the right way. You got to keep doing the right thing the right way, because hell's going to come against your prosperity. It's going to come against your blessing. It's going to come against the favor of God on you. It's going to do everything it can. Hell will do everything it can to steal what God has given you. Because Jesus said he's a thief. He's come to steal and to kill and to destroy. So just get ready. When you get successful, they're going to come after you. They're going to make videos about you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to say things about you. And you know what? God says, just shut up. Just keep doing what you know to do. Do the right thing the right way, and I will outlive your critics. Just keep doing the right thing the right way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, can I have it up on the board? If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12, 21. And do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this brings it back to the kingdom. This is about kingdom living. God says, I've got you in this world, but you're not of it. You are ambassadors and aliens and strangers here, and you're going to have hell come against you. You're going to have to realize who you are in me. You're going to have to get out of fear and get into faith. You're going to have to do something about your faith. You can't just sit there and expect it to fall from the sky. Sometimes you're going to look like an idiot and a fool, and it's going to be hard work. But guess what? God says hard work always brings a profit. It was a lot of hard work to build this house. It was a lot of sleepless nights and lonely nights. A lot of heartache. But it was worth every hour, every second, every day that we spent here. We had to do something. We had to believe God. Jim gave an altar call, but nobody came forward. And then one would trickle in and two would trickle in. And then there was hundreds coming. You got to do something. And you got to keep doing the right thing the right way. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't need to tweet. You don't need to get on social media. You don't need to judge and fight. Shuttest thou upest. Just be still. Proverbs, can I have that verse up? When a man's ways please the Lord, Proverbs 16:7, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You see, there's a different kingdom working in our lives. There's a different force working for us, an unseen force. If we'll stay out of the flesh and stay in the realm of the Spirit, the kingdom of God, God will eventually work it all out. You may have to go dig wells you don't want to dig and aren't fair. It's not just. It's not righteous. It's not right. Well, what is fair on this planet, please? They crucified my king. He died for people that hate him and spit at him. Was that fair? But you see, it's not the kingdom of this world that I'm living in. It's the kingdom of God that I'm living in. And God says there's a greater power. There's a greater kingdom. There's greater laws. They supersede the laws of earth. And if you'll just begin to learn how to walk in them, children, you will fly where you've never flown. And you will experience what you've never experienced. But it's not going to be done in the flesh. It's going to be done by faith and obedience. And the last one, we'll just end it here because I'm out of time. So Isaac had to learn. He had to believe God. Okay, I'm the son. I don't know why I'm the son. I mean, I was all trussed up and tied up, and my father tried to sacrifice me. Guy on Mount Moriah. I mean, the guy might have been, he might have needed breaking free. I mean, Isaac had a life. His parents were really old. They had a brother that hated him. He didn't have an easy life. But Isaac had to learn, just like you and I have to learn. Life isn't fair, but God is. And I'm an heir of His. And what He says will come to pass. I got to learn that I'm an heir and His promises are for me. He wants me to prosper. He wants you to succeed. Number two, I have to not live in fear, but I got to get back in faith. My challenge is, what are you in fear about? Get back in faith about it. Find the promise and get back in faith. Tell the lie to go to hell. That's where it came from, hell. Number three, you're going to have to do something. What are you not doing? You got to do something. God will show you what to do. Get up and do something. He had to play. He had to sow in a dry field. Number four, you got to keep doing the right thing the right way, because you will begin to prosper. You will begin to be blessed. And hell will come against you. And the temptation will be to get in the flesh, and you'll lose in the flesh. But if you stay in the spirit, eventually, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. And number five, this is what it's all about, is you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed with heaven's best, so that you and I can actually release the influence and the blessing of the kingdom into this earth realm, because if we don't, who will? Abimelech and his generals come to Isaac at the end of this chapter. And Isaac says, what are you doing here? You hate me. And they said, well, we obviously see that you're blessed. You've got all this water. Remember, there was a drought. You got all these wells. We want you to make a covenant with us. We want to come under your protection. We want to come under your God. We want to come under your blessing, because we can see that God is with you. And so Isaac prepares a feast, and he forms a covenant with Abimelech, and he sends them off in peace. So his very enemies that he was afraid of at the beginning come to him at the end for blessing and influence. And that's exactly what this is about. God doesn't need us to be all that in a bag of chips. God needs us to grow up, to be able to take on responsibility. Responsibility is going to mean persecution. It's going to mean people aren't going to like you. They're going to say things about you. Your friends aren't going to like you. Your family's going to think you're nuts. All that's going to happen. Jesus told us it would. But if we will continue to walk it out and flesh it out and not look back, if we will continue to do the right thing the right way and not get in the flesh, but stay in the spirit and bless those that persecute us, pray for those that despitefully use us. If someone slaps me on one side, I turn the cheek. Why? Because there's a force and a power working in me and through me that goes beyond the force of this world. It's the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But we've got to learn about this kingdom so that we can be citizens and operate here on this planet before we go home. Five things that Isaac did. He had to realize he's an heir, and so are you. Because Isaac in Galatians is a sign of the new covenant. He is a picture of you and I. Realize who you are. Get out of fear and walk in faith. Do something. Faith without works is dead. Do the right thing the right way, and keep doing the right thing the right way, because you will be persecuted. And number five, you will come into the blessing. You will come into seasons of a prosperity. Realize that this prosperity is not to hoard and not to become selfish and ingrown, but it's to be a blessing and to release and to give and to bring the kingdom of God into a world that is sick and lost and dying. Five things. God's financial recovery system. We're talking about tithing and finances. This is, my husband kept saying, yeah, at the panel, he kept saying, this is a whole lifestyle. It's not just tithing, cha-ching. It's learning to be generous. It's learning to let the spirit of mammon fall off of you as you begin to trust God and tithe what you don't have. I was a single mom. I learned about tithing. I was mad. My gosh, I'm on food stamps. Are you kidding me? God wants my money? You see, I had no concept. I had no concept. I was thinking from a wrong perspective. It's like a doctor. When a doctor writes you a prescription because you're sick, and you go to him and you give him the symptoms, and he looks and he checks you over, or she checks you over, they know what's wrong with you and they know what's going to heal you. When God tells us to do things, he's writing a scripture prescription to heal what's wrong. Because he wrote the manual and he created the entire enchilada. And he knows what's happening better than we do. So when he says, Debbie, I want you to tithe, not because I want your money, but I need you to trust me and release what you're holding on to so tightly. Because if you'll let go of what's in your hand, I can give you what's in mine. He's got a much bigger hand than I have. Five things changed my life. Where are you tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.